Hour number two of Ben and Woods, and as we just mentioned, just saw some sad news that broke in just the last few minutes from senior TNT NBA insider Chris Haynes, who says that legendary Hall of Famer Jerry West passed away peacefully this morning at the age of 86. His wife Karen was by his side. Jerry West, of course, Hall of Fame player and then executive with the Los Angeles Lakers and then a few other teams at the end of his career. I don't know that I can't now think about Jerry West without thinking about his portrayal,
of course,
in Winning Time on HBO,
which I loved and he hated.
Over the top. He didn't love that, but I did get a chance to meet Jerry a couple of times over the years. Yeah.
Did he yell and curse at you and stuff?
No, he did not. He was a gentleman. He was a nice man. I interviewed him once. I was filling in calling a USD basketball game at UC Santa Barbara, and he happened to be there scouting or something. That's awesome. And I saw him, so I went and chatted and interviewed him at halftime of the game. It was really nice.
That's cool.
Met him a couple times growing up with my family's connection to the Lakers. My grandfather was the doctor, so definitely, absolutely. Zeke from Cabin Creek, the West Virginia native, and the logo. I mean,
the logo.
When he was the NBA, the silhouette of the logo. The guy who's dribbling. It's not Michael Jordan. It's Jerry West.
Awesome.
Is the silhouette of the NBA logo. So he had a pretty big impact on the game, as you can imagine. So let's
you know how we do it.
Let's do it.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So shout out to his family.
Rest in peace.
Jerry West passes away at the age of 86 this morning. All right, we'll get to Take on Woods in just a couple of minutes. If you want to join us, you can call in now and get in line to play our game. Qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Before we do that, though, I wanted to talk about just the latest nugget from The Athletic and Ken Rosenthal this morning. You mentioned the Padres have a couple of very reliable bullpen options at the back end right now.
Correct.
But it seems a little hit or miss in the middle. They've got guys who've done well and then all of a sudden blow up. And that's somewhat the nature of a bullpen.
Standard, yeah.
But it looks like that is definitely the area the Padres are going to address. Here's what Ken Rosenthal wrote this morning. Nothing earth-shattering here, but he says the Padres' offense suddenly looks potent. Entering Tuesday, ranked fifth in the majors in on-base percentage, ninth in runs per game. This despite Manny Machado hitting at a league average level and Xander Bogaerts missing time with a fractured right shoulder. While the team is pursuing the White Sox, Garrett Crochet, and other starters, a shutdown right-handed reliever is the top priority for general manager A.J. Preller, according to sources briefed on his discussions. And he adds, in theory, a Crochet-Michael Kopech package could make sense, but additional relievers will become available as the deadline nears, potentially lowering the prices. So, top target is a right-handed relief pitcher. Even though they have a right-hander in Suarez and Estrada who've been getting the job done, they want one more righty relief pitcher to lengthen that bullpen a little bit.
Sounds good to me. I would sign up for that. Don't know who it will be. Don't know what it will cost. A.J. Preller has been really good at that. Finding those guys over the years. So I have all the confidence in the world that he will find somebody that can help this bullpen. And, I mean, again, the having the back end covered and having starters pitching much better lately is you don't want to give those games away in the middle innings, but you do have guys that are going to be on your roster for a while. I thought Yuki Matsui was going to put me into a tailspin last night when he walked the first batter.
But then he got a magic a visit from Ruben Niebla.
Yeah.
He came out, and after five straight balls, he went, and I think he retired the side in about six more pitches after that.
Ruben just said, hey, pitch better.
Maybe next time, Yuki and Ruben just go out to the mound together to start the inning, and he has the meeting right away before the first walk is even issued.
It was a big one. I mean, getting through that inning after walking that first guy, you could feel it start to spiral. And to be able to make pitches when he needed to and get those guys was a big confidence boost for Yuki. And frankly, you know, we need him. We need him to be good. We need Eniel De Los Santos to be good. If Stephen Kolek's going to be on the roster, we need him to be good and valuable. You cannot have a bullpen, Ben, that's made up of guys you can only pitch in a blowout, and that's where a couple of these guys are trending.
Well, most of them have been good enough in stretches
sure.
that you keep having
keep rolling
to go
them out.
To them,
Is
obviously.
It overuse in a case of NL?
I don't think that anybody's been particularly overused. I'm not going to hammer Mike Schilt.
No, I'm not hammering him either. I just, you know...
You know, he is essentially pitching a man short with the decision to keep Steven Kolek around. You don't know when you're going to have the blowout games that you can throw Steven Kolek in there. And you had one where you threw him in there and it ended up being pretty costly
yeah.
when he couldn't even, you know, get the final three outs in an 8-run game in Kansas City. So you're kind of operating on a bit of a, you know, hamstrung to begin with. You know, who takes the place? If they traded for a right-handed reliever right now and didn't trade any of the bullpen guys they have, who do you send down at the moment?
Well, I mean, I think you give Kolek back to the Mariners if you have to. If he's the guy that you can only use in a blowout.
But if they haven't done that yet.
You've got Johnny Brito for that. You've got, you know, there's other guys that you know, you
do you
can
send Johnny Brito down if you really want to keep Kolek?
Yeah,
if he's
got options, and I'm sure he does, then yes. You're not sending, somebody said De Los Santos. No, you're not sending De Los Santos down. I mean, I know, again, the long ball has gotten him a couple of times, but he's been pretty effective, you know. And like you said, he hadn't given up a run in his last five appearances. And, I mean, it's going to happen from time to time. But you can't have five guys in a pen that you can't use in high leverage. It's not the recipe for success. And I don't know that that's on Mike Schilt.
We did see the change yesterday, though, in a situation where it might have been Wandy Peralta 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was Adrian Morejon.
Correct.
Yesterday, who pitched a very nice inning and now seems to be the top left-handed option.
Correct.
Out of the bullpen
yep.
for the Padres.
That's exactly right. But, again, you still need to count on Wandy. You still have to count on him. He's here.
And he's a proven... I mean, he has a track record.
Correct.
He does have a good track record.
Correct. None of these guys are...
None of them are perfect.
None of them are perfect, but none of them are so bad that they shouldn't be on a roster
correct.
Right now. You know what I mean? So that's... Which makes it even tougher. If they're terrible, all right, well, we cut our losses and we move on. Like Usuk go. Like, there was no way he was going to pitch at this level.
Did I see that the Marlins have
cut him already? Yeah.
He's no longer in Major League
yeah,
Baseball or even Minor League Baseball
gig,
at this moment. So that was a waste of $2 million or whatever.
More than
it was.
That. I think it was more.
Yeah.
It was like four. And that bullet was dodged when you got Peter Bendix to pick up the tab on that. So
2 year, $4.5 million.
2 year, $4.5 million. So, yeah, I mean, dodge that bullet. Great. Go out and find another one that can do it and you know, act accordingly. They did promote, I think it's JV and Sandridge yesterday to AAA. The comp I saw
I've seen
him,
some of the highlights from him from AA.
Pretty,
they were pretty good.
Pretty nasty. So we'll see how he does. I would expect to see him up soon.
The comp you said was a lefty.
Somebody said he's like a left-handed Jeremiah Estrada. So. You'll take that. You'll take that every day.
Before we get to take on Woods, now, if Padres are looking for help, but other teams are as well, we already told you the Dodgers made a deal this morning, adding Kevin Biggio from the Blue Jays. That's a pretty minor deal. The Phillies are definitely now probably thinking about trades with JT Realmuto going on the injured list. He's going to need meniscus surgery in his knee. That's a big loss for the Phillies for the next month to 2 months, likely.
He's huge for them.
He's such a core player. Now, they have other stars and will be okay, but to lose JT Realmuto is a blow for the Phillies. I would imagine they're hoping he'll be back for the stretch run playoffs, and because they've played so well, they can absorb that for a while. They don't have to panic and make a move. They can go, let's see how we do for a while, and if we have to make a move, we have to make a move. But other teams are starting to look and see what's out there on the trade market. The Padres are not the only ones. All right, before Paulie leaves us, Adam Klug has arrived. We'll let him guide us through our game of Take on Woods, and then we'll say farewell to Paulie for the day. So go ahead, Paul.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. SoCalOilChange.com. We go to Dominic. Dominic, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What's up,
you prefer Dominic or Dom?
Either way works. Well, I'm looking to go 3-0 against Woods today. 3-0.
Undefeated contestant. Well, if you can...
Go for a sweep.
If you can beat him or tie him, we will put you into the grand prize drawing for the trip to the Fontainebleau Las Vegas. Two-night stay, tickets to either Smashing Pumpkins or Hootie and the Blowfish, and a $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages, concert tickets are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. Here are your categories, Dominic. We've got It's Not False. That one you kind of have to figure out. End Game. Those are song titles that include the word end. And we got It Ain't Nothing. Those are song titles that begin with the word something. So It's Not False, End Game, or It Ain't Nothing. What would you like to play?
We are going to go with End Game.
End Game. All right. Today we've got five song titles that include the word end. You'll have 60 seconds. I know you know how to play since you've won twice. Pass if you don't know one. Start with our two-second song. Polly's going to play some music. You need to give me the title and the artist to score that point. Dominic, are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, 60.
1 second.
Okay, the category again is End Game. Song titles that include the word end.
All right, got it.
Polly's ready. 60 seconds on the clock. Dominic, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
That's great. It starts with...
Jeez, no idea. Pass.
Don Henley sings Offer Up Your Best Defense in the chorus of which Grammy-nominated title track from his 1989 solo album?
Pass.
Which hit from Green Day's American Idiot album was written by Billy Joe Armstrong about his father who died of cancer when Billy was 10?
Pass.
Which single from Linkin Park's debut album in 2001 shot up to number 2 on the Billboard charts and is considered by many the group's signature?
In the End.
Correct. Tom Petty sings the verses, and the rest of the Traveling Wilburys take turns on the choruses for which 1989 hit for the super band?
Pass.
Back to the 2 second song.
End of the World.
Bye. Not quite. The End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. You did get In the End. I think that's the only one, the 1 point this time. I don't know that that undefeated streak is going to continue. Don Henley is The End of the Innocents. Green Day is Wake Me Up When September Ends. And the Traveling Wilburys is End of the Line. I think Woodsy's got this one. We'll see. Dominic, hang on. You never know. Weirder things have happened. All right, Dominic's score is locked in. Woodsy does not get the category. Reset the 60 seconds. Reset the 2 second song. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Dominic.
It's The End of the World, R.E.M.
Correct. Don Henley sings Offer Up Your Best Defense in the chorus of which Grammy...
End of the Innocents.
Correct. Which hit from Green Day's American Idiot album was written by Billy Joe Armstrong about his father who died of cancer when Billy was 10?
Wake Me Up When September Ends.
Correct. Which single from Linkin Park's debut album in 2001 shot up to number 2 on the Billboard charts and is considered by many the group's signature song?
In the End?
Correct. Tom Petty sings the verses, and the rest of the Traveling Wilburys take turn on the choruses, for which 1989 hit for the super band.
End of the Line?
That is a 5-for-5, and a 5-1 win for Woods.
Why did I get the half-assed applause?
You always do.
That was dominant.
Dominic,
I dominated Dominic.
2-0 against you.
But he was 2-0?
Now 2-1.
Sucks to suck.
Can't get the sweep.
Can't get the sweep.
No sweep.
Oh, that's a bad omen right there. That is a bad omen. Yeah, he won the series.
Won the series.
Dominic won the series.
No alibi.
Just keep doing that. You'll be fine, Dominic. You'll go plenty of Vegas trips as long as you keep winning series.
Is that our boy
Woods.
Dominic from the East Coast? Or is it a local guy?
I don't know.
All right.
Might have been. All right, we will...
Local, okay.
Hi, local Dominic. All right.
Sorry to whip that ass today.
Sorry to do it to you this morning. All right, we're going to switch out Paul Reindel for Bald Reindel.
Bald Reindel, I hope you feel better.
He's coming to the rescue today. He's Adam Klug.
Oh, for you. He's right. Bald Reindel to me.
Fair enough.
Hopefully we see you tomorrow. If not, have a good weekend.
And, yeah, maybe we'll talk to you Monday.
I will definitely try to be back by
on Monday.
Friday. Well, it's... Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
We've got a do this request from our chat.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
The
Korean call.
Last
night's walk-off winner, of course. Got to play that. And more coming up on Don't Do This next with Ben and Woods after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. It is thecrafttaco.com.
It's delicious.
Welcome to Adam Klug. Good morning, Adam. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning,
going
fellas.
Above and beyond the job description.
See, from my vantage point, all I see is his bald head. He's bald Rindel. Welcome in, Bald. It's good to have you.
The ring lights that we use for our YouTube stream create quite the sheen.
Oh, perhaps, there it is. There it is.
Perhaps we should get Adam a makeup kit.
Yeah, do a little
for his morning appearances here, just to kind of soften the glow a little bit.
Yeah, it's very shiny.
You've also got a little shine as well.
Do I?
Yeah.
You have the jaundice filter. What is that filter that you use?
I'm the exact same lighting as you are. Do you want me to change it to the slightly whiter light? Does that look better?
That's better.
Everybody? All right. Yeah, lighting is engaged, and I will start us today on Don't Do This with maybe it's a personal gripe. Maybe everyone shares this complaint. Had a great pitcher's duel last night in St. Louis. Pirates, Cardinals, scoreless into the seventh inning with the young Paul Skeens on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Going up against Miles Michaelis of the Cardinals. Was the top of the seventh, or bottom of the seventh. Skeens had thrown 6 1/3 shutout innings when he was lifted from the game.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals fans, this is in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Cardinals fans gave Paul Skeens a standing ovation as he walked off the mound. There was a guy tipping his cap repeatedly. And I know some people are going, well, that's a nice, classy gesture. Why would you, Ben, put this in Don't Do This? Don't you appreciate good, classy baseball fans? But at this point, I've decided it's just kind of obnoxious.
Really?
You're making a point of it. The rest of the baseball world, when I go to a game and someone shoves against my team, I understand. He pitched very well and I appreciate it. I don't need to pump up his ego, though, and give him a nice standing ovation as he walks off the mound. I promise you, never gave Randy Johnson a standing ovation as he walked off the mound after he shoved for the Diamondbacks against the Padres in any game. Or Clayton Kershaw not getting a standing ovation when he has a good outing against the San Diego Padres. And that doesn't make me or Padres fans or any other fan base worse fans than the St. Louis Cardinals fans. But everyone today is going to go, wow, what great fans, the Cardinals fans. Did you see that standing ovation they gave to Paul Skeens? Guess what? The Pirates turned that into a 2-1 win late in the game. Maybe buoyed by the St. Louis fans and their support. They went on to beat the St. Louis team 2-1 in the late innings.
Adam sent this over last night in the group text, and you responded obnoxious. And I didn't respond, mostly because I went, oh, that's kind of cool. Am I soft now?
Maybe you're getting soft in your old age.
Adam just grimaced at me.
I mean, if the guy's got a perfect game or a no-hitter or something. But
he's an eight-hitter. He gave up 5 hits. He struck out 8. Michaelis was even better. He went 7 innings, 1 hit, 6 strikeouts.
You know, I will say this, and I asked Ben this question earlier, Adam. Is Paul Skeens a transcendent pitcher, or on the path of being a transcendent pitcher?
Much too early to say.
Well, you say that, but when I was in here with Annie and Craig one day when he was pitching during the day, I think it was his second career start, I said between his age and the fact that he's so early in his rookie contract, etc., I think he might be the most valuable pitching asset in baseball.
Well, and
you wouldn't trade him straight up for even Garrett Cole, who's hurt and has a $300 million contract. This guy's got 6 years of control for dirt. Like, he's that good and that valuable.
Well, he's also, I'm sitting in pickup line the other day going, oh, he's throwing? I got to watch. He's like a Pirate starting pitcher. When has that happened? Since, you know, I mean.
He's intriguing. He's very intriguing.
You're underselling it. He's fascinating. Randy Vasquez is intriguing.
Paul Skeens might be a top 10 or 15 starting pitcher in baseball already.
Already. He's appointment viewing. I honestly had no effing problem with them saying, hey, nice work tonight, kid. I really didn't, but I'm getting ripped in the chat. I don't care. I don't have a rooting interest for either team. I do think maybe it's the Cardinals, and maybe they're doing a little bit of eyewash. You know, they do call themselves baseball's best fans, but I would tip my cap to Paul Skeens. He's pretty fun to watch.
You do that next time we'll probably see him at Petco Park later this season.
Maybe
I'm kind of hoping we dodge him.
Yeah, I do too.
Other people want to see him at Petco Park.
All right, well, one thing I think we can all agree on, you got to stop running on the field if you're a fan. And this happened last night at Great American Ballpark during the ninth inning of the game.
I saw this video. I wasn't sure what exactly had happened.
Well, it's Cincinnati Reds, Cleveland Guardians. Dude runs on the field, and a police officer approaches him and kind of comes up behind him, and this kid is able to get off a full backflip and then tries to run away. Sticks the landing. And next thing you know, officer reaches, tases him.
Okay, I thought maybe he had tripped, but he got tased.
Yeah. Yeah. He was wearing a throwback Johnny Bench jersey, ran in the outfield, appeared to say something to Cleveland Guardians outfielder Tyler Freeman, which, by the way, pretty terrifying for Tyler Freeman to be out there, and here comes some idiot on the field. So the officer deployed the taser. Fan hit the ground. He is 19 year old.
I am terrified of tasers, by the way. Have you ever been tased?
No, God, no. I'm terrified
of
them.
For a radio stunt?
Never, never.
I don't like it when I get a static shock on like the doorknob.
You know how I feel about shocks. It's terrible.
Not good.
Jay, our old producer, built a shock chair, and he had wires that ran over the arms, and you'd have to sit and answer questions, like an electric chair. And he'd be like, all right, Wood. And he'd ask me a question, I'd get it wrong, and I hated it. I'm terrified of tasers.
Electricity, not a fan. Other than, you know, all the good things it does. Lighting.
Yeah, lighting things.
Such, televisions.
19-year-old William Hendon of Cleves is in jail. And he's charged with obstructing official business, a misdemeanor, and felony criminal trespass.
What game was this?
The Guardians and Reds last night.
That's official business.
That's official business. So they got him.
That's two Ohio teams. They're going to throw the book at you in Ohio for
and
that.
He got the backflip off. So
that's 20 years, probably.
You got your clout. Well done, sir.
Good backflip.
Yeah, people are calling me soft, surprisingly soft. I don't know. I appreciate.
All right. As requested, it's time for a little do this. Adam, if you give us the do this sounder, if you can find that.
Whenever you're ready.
DD mega do do.
Ride that level down
nice
a little bit. Nice and loud. Just ride
everyone
that
in San Diego just heard that. Thank you. All right. We heard Jesse Agler's call of the walk-off. You probably heard Don Orsillo's last night. But what about the Korean call of last night's walk-off Kyle Higashioka home run?
Elite.
Here's how it sounded.
Goodbye. Yeah, phenomenal.
와, 소름 돋네요. 히가시오카. 이렇게 되면 지금 다섯 경기에서 네 경 넣어.
시즌 다섯 번째 홈런은 이 경기를 끝내는 굿바이 홈런입니다.
Love it.
It's a lot of goodbyes.
A lot of goodbyes.
A lot of Higashiokas in there.
Caught a home run in there. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Bald Reindl. Thank you, Ben. Let's don't do this. And do this.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Johnny said if the Padres do that thing where they win today, that I have to get tased. Nope.
No. Bald Reindl has already agreed to eat a handful of jelly beans for any sweep.
Oh, you're not supposed to say
that's right.
It.
Sorry.
Well, Kiss it goodbye.
Yeah.
Here they are.
We already knew it. They're here. They're standing by for tomorrow.
Just getting more
stale. If it does happen.
More
stale. But we know
stale.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
Padres are addicted to 500.
Well, and again, the way that it's played out all season. Chance to sweep at the day game on Wednesday. Off day on Thursday. We get Schilt after a loss on Friday. And then he yells at
me. Left-handed starting pitcher today.
Correct.
I mean, bet the farm on the A's.
It's not looking good, man. It is not looking good.
Haven't seen Mason Miller yet in this series. Going to pitch at some point today.
Oh, yeah. You better get 9 in the first, man. God.
All right. I think Adam Jones right now is a coin flip.
Yeah, coin flip.
We'll find out if a big league Wednesday gets us started. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Got a text from our beloved Sammy Levitt. He said, also, he's dating a huge social media star, an athlete in her own right, Livy Dunn. This was about Skeens. Yeah, 100%. Tip your hat to that man every chance you get.
There was the video when he was in college
that
was going around where he was fired up and like screaming in his own locker room at his teammates and pointing at them, going, I outwork you. I work harder than you. I outwork you. I outwork you. It's obnoxious.
Is that possible to love something and hate it at the same time and admire it, but also be like, what an a-hole.
I think you just did.
Is it inspiring? Would it make me want to work harder? I think the answer is yes. But I also, you know, listen, I think that there is that mentality. I think Michael Jordan had that mentality. I just watched a thing the other day, Ben. It was about Kobe Bryant. And so they were doing a podcast. They were talking about Kobe. And one of the guys goes, man, I asked Kobe one time, why don't you pass the ball a lot? And he said, why the F would I pass the ball? When these dudes show up 5 minutes before practice and they leave at the whistle, why would I pass that guy the ball? I'm there 2 hours before. I'm there 2 hours after. Why would I pass him? Why wouldn't I take the shot? I'm the one working. And Kobe would straight up say that to their faces. You know, I don't think it's any different. I really don't. I think it's the same mentality. And I think it's obnoxious, yes. And I wouldn't want to work with you if you were that way. And you wouldn't want to work with me if I was that way. But I do think you have to have that mentality, even if you don't say it. You know, I think it takes a special person to say it out loud. You better be real confident in your abilities to do things like that. And clearly he is.
The Padres play the Pirates 6 times in a 9-game span in August, which means really good chance, if he's healthy, that they will be facing Paul Skeens at some point. I think it would have to line up absolutely perfectly for him to miss them.
Right.
It's also the possibility they could have to face him twice in less than 10 days. And a team, the Pirates, by the way, absolutely in the thick of the wild card race right now, especially after their win over the Cardinals yesterday. This thing is an absolute
log jam.
Man. Padres actually picked up a game on just about everybody else yesterday. Padres are only 2.5 games behind the Braves for the wild card lead at this point. The Braves,
they're in a free fall,
are struggling. They've lost 4 in a row. They've dropped to 35-29, really have been struggling since the loss of Ronald Acuna Jr. Now, of course, they overcame that loss to win a World Series a couple of years ago, but has not been going as well this year. The Giants and the Pirates are currently tied for the third wild card spot, both 2 games under 500, and they're just a half a game ahead of the Diamondbacks, Reds, Cubs, and Cardinals, and just a game ahead of the Washington Nationals. So lots of teams that absolutely think they're in the mix right now for one of the playoff spots in the National League. And the Pirates, one of them at this point. Now, that'll be post-trade deadline. Teams are going to have to face some tough choices if there's still this many clubs that are in it in July. Do you go all in? Do you take advantage of other teams trying to go all in and get a huge haul, but kind of have to wave the white flag? Can you do both?
I think you can do both.
Can you walk the line of both trying to compete, but also, you know, taking a look at where the market is and trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I think you can do both, and I think there's going to be teams. You don't want to signal that to your fan base, and I think there's a couple of teams that obviously can, and I think their fan base, not that they understand, but they get it. They're pragmatic in it and go, yeah, we're the Marlins. We're not going to go on some magical run, right? So if you have to unload a Jesus Luzardo or a bullpen piece or somebody else, I think they'll understand why you're doing that, Benjamin. So, but I think there are teams that are going to probably buy on the margins, and the San Diego Padres might be one of them because of a few different reasons. You've traded What did we say?
They've already bought big.
They bought
more
big
than
already.
Any other team
yeah.
this year.
And they that's cost them, what, four prospects? Or eight prospects,
eight.
Right? And then there's the financial constraints. So, again, GM's going to have to do some serious GMing to get it done. But I expect some margin buys, certainly.
One of those prospects who was traded away in the Dylan Cease deal made his Major League debut last night, Drew Thorpe.
Yep.
Got his first start for the Chicago White Sox and looked pretty decent. Went five innings, three hits, two runs, one earned against the Seattle Mariners.
Five Ks or something?
Four yeah,
Ks?
I think so. He left with the lead, ended up losing the game. He didn't take the loss. He got a no decision. The Mariners rallied after he was gone. But an admirable opener for Drew Thorpe. Now, we never really got to know him. For whatever reason, it hurts less just because he was only a Padre for
a few weeks,
couple months before he was traded for Dylan Cease. You can't really have that attitude if you're A.J. Preller. Once they're on your team, they're just as valuable as anybody else. They're as valuable as a Dylan Lesko or a Robbie Snelling. Even though you didn't draft them and develop them,
they're
now an asset for your team. You could have kept him. You decided to trade him for Dylan Cease. I'm not saying it was a bad decision at all, but that we'll see what the... what the consequences are of making that choice as Drew Thorpe goes through his big league career. We're just five innings into it at this point.
Yeah, just like every single trade you make, there's going to be consequences and ones you want to take back. Listen, it was a deal for Juan Soto. So, I mean, it's always going to hurt.
A couple more notes before we get to traffic from baseball last night. Maybe it's June, getting hot around the rest of the country at least. Ball seems to be flying more. Aaron Judge hit his 25th. Giancarlo Stanton murdered a ball for his 16th home run. Yankees beat the Royals 10-1. Kyle Schwarber there's two red-hot Kyles right now. Schwarber and Higashioka in Major League Baseball. Schwarber hit two more home runs last night in a Phillies 4-1 win over the Red Sox. And the Dodgers hit four home runs in one inning. Sixth inning in a 15-2 win over the Texas Rangers. I believe Teoscar Hernandez and Shohei Ohtani both part of the going deep faction for the Dodgers last night.
Okay, traffic.
No comment. Traffic next, and then I got a couple of local notes. As you can tell, we have not heard from Adam Jones, so vamping a little bit, but I got a couple local notes for you next here on 97.3 The
Fan. I want to talk about some of the responses to your tweet last night, which I don't understand.
Fair. Yeah. Let's do that with Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Okay, that's next here on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what percentage of the Padres fan base thinks this way, but I can promise you it was more than one. I got a couple of mentions in my my tweets, my ats last night, even early in the game, especially after Manny grounded into the double play in the bottom of the first inning, with people asking, why is he in the lineup? Put him on the injured list. Get him healthy. He's hurting the ball club. And I didn't say anything at the time. Then, of course, Manny comes out and he scalds one in his second at-bat, line out.
Almost hit it through Andujar.
114 miles an hour. Scalds Jesus. One in his third at-bat.
God.
Into the gap, 111 miles an hour. And then bloops a single in his last at-bat. Has had four hits in the two games since he's returned to the designated hitter role. I'm not sure what the point is. Yes, he is a station-to-station runner at this point, which he's pretty much, even when he's healthy, is a station-to-station runner. Occasionally, Manny, because he's a smart base runner,
will
grab one, take an extra base on you. He's not going to be doing that right now. But that doesn't take away the vast majority of his value, which was always in his bat
and glove.
And his glove, which, he's not out there, but he was taking ground balls yesterday. I just don't see why you wouldn't want Manny in the lineup. There are Padres fans out there who really think that.
Did the Red Sox not want Ortiz to hit because he was slow?
I'm pretty sure they were very happy to have him DHing.
Right.
Even without speed as one of his tools.
I mean, J.D. Martinez. The list goes on and on. If you can swing it, you're valuable. And he's been swinging it. I don't understand this bit.
Yeah, when I pointed out
how,
I mean, even after he had his hits and it was swinging, it was pointed out by one person. That's cool and all, but he can barely make it to first or beyond after getting contact. Still a hindrance rather than an asset at this point.
Because of the legs that he doesn't really have and has never really had? I don't get it. I don't see how he hinders your team. And I do think if he didn't play, he would catch more. Hey, Manny's actually fine to go, but we're not going to play him tonight. I just don't understand that at $35 million a year.
Is it because you want Tyler Wade out there so badly? Are you going to call up, you know, Eggie's been playing pretty well, I think, at AAA, but there's not... There's not some option that you're keeping on the bench.
What are we talking about?
Who's going to be better than Manny Machado at this point?
Purple says Manny's glove is not an asset. He's a negative defender at the moment. Is that true?
I don't. Metrically, I thought his metrics were decent. Last year, they were much better. I'm not a big believer in the eye test, but if there ever was an eye test, Manny is a good defender.
Do you think he's not a very good defender? That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. I understand.
I mean, I compare him to Donovan Solano out there. And I know Manny is a much better defender than Donovan Solano is at third base.
Okay.
No offense.
He's minus two outs above average right now on June 11th or 12th or whatever. I mean, he's worlds better at third base than Donovan Solano, Tyler Wade, or Eggie Rosario, or anybody else you want to put out there. Worlds. He's already made some ridiculous plays this season. And obviously, when healthy,
he did make one error. I remember that.
I remember that.
Made an error.
Yep.
I think that's the only one, though.
I mean...
I believe in numbers. I trust numbers.
What are we talking about?
When it comes to the defensive metrics for Manny Machado, they've always seemed a little off. My eyes always tell me that Manny
is better than
the numbers seem to indicate, and I don't know what that is. Maybe someone can explain to me exactly how those numbers are calculated. I don't know how outs above average are calculated. I assume it has to do with how far you have to go to get a ball at times and, you know, how fast the runner is, whether you throw him out. Manny's got a terrific arm. It's very accurate. He gets, great hands, makes really good decisions.
One error since last August,
yes.
But he hasn't gotten to a couple of balls, so that skews his metrics.
He's gotten to a lot of them, too. I mean, he makes smart plays. They threw out a runner at the plate, a week or two ago. Just a really nice play on the move.
Again, if you're up there and you're hitting the ball 114 miles an hour, 106 miles an hour, and 111 miles an hour off the bat, you're not hurting this team, period. You're not, and you're going 2 for 4.
Yes, you're going to hit a lot of double plays when you hit the ball hard.
Bro.
And it goes on the ground sometimes.
You still hit a bleeder and gets a knock. You know, so I just, that to me.
And the double play he hit into would have been a double play even if Tatis was running.
100%.
He hit 106 miles an hour right at the shortstop.
Yeah.
That's the easiest double play in the world once you fielded that ball.
I mean,
it had nothing to do with his legs.
The bat's finally coming around a little bit. The sliders are in the red on expected batting average, average exit velo, bat speeds catching up, hard hit percentage, all in the red, chasing a little bit too much, whiffing a little bit too much. I still think his timing is a touch off, but how nice would it be to be that good where your timing's off and you're still ripping the ball 114 miles an hour, 111 miles an hour, and 106 miles an hour? I just don't look at that as a hindrance because he's not at full strength with his legs. I mean... If the designated hitter, his job is to hit, mission accomplished, right? JD Martinez. I mean, go down the list of guys that are DHs for teams. You don't, his knee's a little sore. He can only go station to station. What? Of course they're going to be in there, right? Every time. It doesn't make any sense.
Not every player. In fact, most players not going to have every five tools
correct.
All the time.
Correct.
You're hoping to have... Two or three of them would be great.
Three working at one time, I think, is pretty good.
Manny doesn't have a speed tool.
Yep.
Never did. It's a little worse right now with the hip flexor strain.
He did when he was 20, 21.
Yeah.
And a couple knee surgeries, a bum ankle. It doesn't make sense. Like, if he's swinging the bat like that, hitting the ball that hard, he's absolutely your best option at DH, period. What are you talking about? You want him on the bench? $35 million a year? Doesn't make sense to me.
You want to join us, 833-288-0973. I can grab a couple of calls. I mentioned I had a couple of local notes. You probably saw the headlines yesterday. The DirecTV Holiday Bowl announced that they're going to be moving the game from Petco Park to Snapdragon Stadium beginning this December. No date or even matchup necessarily because the Pac-12 is gone. They're going to have to redo the matchups. I have no problem with it. They were very excited about moving it to Petco Park 3 years ago. They actually put a lot of time and money into rebuilding the stadium at Petco Park so it could accommodate a football field.
Yeah.
And they talked about how, everything downtown is going to be great. The parade, the hotels, they're all down there. So So they're kind of going back on that when they're taking it to Snapdragon Stadium. For me personally, I think college football, bowl games, the tailgating's the fun part. And Snapdragon Stadium is better for that. People can still stay downtown.
Can I say
just come
though,
down for the game?
Can I say that I do like bowl games in stadiums? Like in like I like when they play
baseball.
In, yeah,
like
yeah.
The Yankee,
I think it looks cool.
The pinstripe bowl.
Yeah, and I thought it looked cool at Petco.
It did. There was definitely an odd corner where it was like end zone 3 inches
wall.
It could be a problem,
which is awesome. I think in its own right, but it didn't. It didn't blow my hair back, you know?
Also, this morning, Jay Billis revealed the matchups for the players.
Got a text from our beloved Sammy Levitt. He said, also, he's dating a huge social media star, an athlete in her own right, Livy Dunn. This was about Skeens. Yeah, 100%. Tip your hat to that man every chance you get.
There was the video when he was in college that was going around where he was fired up. And, like, screaming in his own locker room at his teammates and pointing at them, going, I outwork you. I work harder than you. I outwork you. I outwork you. It's obnoxious.
Is that possible to love something and hate it at the same time and admire it but also be like, what an a-hole?
I think you just did.
Is it inspiring? Would it make me want to work harder? I think the answer is yes. But I also, you know, listen. I think that there is that mentality. I think Michael Jordan had that mentality. I just watched a thing the other day, Ben. It was about Kobe Bryant. And so they were doing a podcast. They were talking about Kobe. And one of the guys goes, man, I asked Kobe one time, why don't you pass the ball a lot? And he said, why the F would I pass the ball? When these dudes show up 5 minutes before practice and they leave at the whistle, why would I pass that guy the ball? I'm there 2 hours before. I'm there 2 hours after. Why would I pass him? Why wouldn't I take the shot? I'm the one working. And Kobe would straight up say that to their faces. You know, I don't think it's any different. I really don't. I think it's the same mentality. And I think it's obnoxious, yes. And I wouldn't want to work with you if you were that way. And you wouldn't want to work with me if I was that way. But I do think you have to have that mentality, even if you don't say it. You know, I think it takes a special person to say it out loud. You better be real confident in your abilities to do things like that, and clearly he is.
The Padres play the Pirates 6 times in a 9-game span in August, which means really good chance, if he's healthy, that they will be facing Paul Skeens at some point. I think it would have to line up absolutely perfectly for him to miss them.
Right.
It's also the possibility they could have to face him twice in less than 10 days. And a team, the Pirates, by the way, absolutely in the thick of the wild card race right now, especially after their win over the Cardinals yesterday. This thing is an absolute
log jam.
The Padres actually picked up a game on just about everybody else yesterday. Padres are only 2.5 games behind the Braves for the wild card lead at this point. The Braves,
they're in a free fall,
are struggling. They've lost 4 in a row. They've dropped to 35-29, really have been struggling since the loss of Ronald Acuna Jr. Now, of course, they overcame that loss to win a World Series a couple of years ago, but has not been going as well this year. The Giants and the Pirates are currently tied for the third wild card spot, both 2 games under 500, and they're just a half a game ahead of the Diamondbacks, Reds, Cubs, and Cardinals, and just a game ahead of the Washington Nationals. So lots of teams that absolutely think they're in the mix right now for one of the playoff spots in the National League. And the Pirates, one of them at this point. Now, that'll be post-trade deadline. Teams are going to have to face some tough choices if there's still this many clubs that are in it in July. Do you go all in? Do you take advantage of other teams trying to go all in and get a huge haul, but kind of have to wave the white flag? Can you do both?
I think you can do both.
Can you walk the line of both trying to compete, but also, you know, taking a look at where the market is and trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I think you can do both, and I think there's going to be teams. You don't want to signal that to your fan base, and I think there's a couple of teams that obviously can, and I think their fan base, not that they understand, but they get it. They're pragmatic in it and go, yeah, we're the Marlins. We're not going to go on some magical run, right? So if you have to unload a Jesus Luzardo or a bullpen piece or somebody else, I think they'll understand why you're doing that, Benjamin. So, but I think there are teams that are going to probably buy on the margins, and the San Diego Padres might be one of them because of a few different reasons. You've traded What did we say?
They've already bought big.
They've bought
more
big
than
already.
Any other team
yeah.
this year.
And they that's cost them, what, four prospects? Or eight prospects, right? And then there's the financial constraints. So, again, GM's going to have to do some serious GMing to get it done. But I expect some margin buys, certainly.
One of those prospects who was traded away in the Dylan Cease deal made his major league debut last night, Drew Thorpe.
Yep.
Got his first start for the Chicago White Sox and looked pretty decent. Went five innings, three hits, two runs, one earned against the Seattle Mariners.
Five Ks or something?
Yeah,
Ks?
I think so. He left with the lead, ended up losing the game. He didn't take the loss. He got a no decision. The Mariners rallied after he was gone. But an admirable opener
yeah.
for Drew Thorpe. Now, we never really got to know him. For whatever reason, it hurts less just because he was only a Padre for a
few weeks,
a couple months yeah. Before he was traded for Dylan Cease. You can't really have that attitude if you're A.J. Preller. Once they're on your team, they're just as valuable as anybody else. They're as valuable as a Dylan Lesko or a Robbie Snelling. Even though you didn't draft them and develop them,
yeah, you got
they're
him.
Now an asset for your team. You could have kept him. You decided to trade him for Dylan Cease. I'm not saying it was a bad decision at all, but that you know we'll see what the... What the consequences are of making that choice is Drew Thorpe goes through his big league career. We're just five innings into it at this point.
Yeah, just like every single trade you make, there's going to be consequences and ones you want to take back. Listen, it was a deal for Juan Soto. So, I mean, it's always going to hurt.
A couple more notes before we get to traffic from baseball last night. Maybe it's June, getting hot around the rest of the country at least. Ball seems to be flying more. Aaron Judge hit his 25th. Giancarlo Stanton murdered a ball for his 16th home run. Yankees beat the Royals 10-1. Kyle Schwarber there's two red-hot Kyles right now. Schwarber and Higashioka in Major League Baseball. Schwarber hit two more home runs last night in a Phillies 4-1 win over the Red Sox. And the Dodgers hit four home runs in one inning. Sixth inning in a 15-2 win over the Texas Rangers. I believe Teoscar Hernandez and Shohei Ohtani, both part of the going deep faction for the Dodgers last night.
Okay, traffic.
No comment. Traffic next, and then I got a couple of local notes. As you can tell, we have not heard from Adam Jones, so vamping a little bit, but I got a couple local notes for you next here on 97.3
The Fan. I want to talk about some of the responses to your tweet last night, which I don't understand.
Fair. Yeah. Let's do that with Manny Machado. Yeah. Okay, that's next here on 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what percentage of the Padres fan base thinks this way, but I can promise you it was more than one. I got a couple of mentions in my my tweets, my ats last night, even early in the game, especially after Manny grounded into the double play
yeah.
in the bottom of the first inning, with people asking, why is he in the lineup? Put him on the injured list. Get him healthy. He's hurting the ball club. And I didn't say anything at the time. Then, of course, Manny comes out and he scalds one in his second at-bat, line out.
Almost hit it through Andujar.
114 miles an hour. Scalds one in his third at-bat into the gap, 111 miles an hour. And then bloops a single in his last at-bat. Has had four hits in the two games since he's returned to the designated hitter role. I'm not sure what the point is. Yes, he is a station-to-station runner at this point, which he's pretty much... Even when he's healthy, is
yeah.
a station-to-station runner. Occasionally, Manny, you know, because he's a smart base runner,
will
grab one,
yep.
you know, take an extra base on you. He's not going to be doing that right now. But that doesn't take away the vast majority of his value, which was always in his bat
and glove.
And his glove, which,
yeah.
you know, he's not out there, but he was taking ground balls yesterday. I just don't see why you wouldn't want Manny in the lineup. There are Padres fans out there who really think that.
Did the Red Sox not want Ortiz to hit because he was slow?
I'm pretty sure they were very happy to have him DHing.
Right.
Even without speed as one of his tools.
I mean, J.D. Martinez. The list goes on and on. If you can swing it, you're valuable. And he's been swinging it. I don't understand this bit.
Yeah,
when
I pointed out how... I mean, even after he had his hits and it was swinging... It's pointed out by one person. That's cool and all, but he can barely make it to first or beyond after getting contact. Still a hindrance rather than an asset at this point.
Because of the legs that he doesn't really have and has never really had? I don't get it. I don't see how he hinders your team. And I do think if he didn't play, he would catch more. Hey, Manny's actually fine to go. but we're not going to play him tonight. I just don't understand that at $35 million a year.
Is it because you want Tyler Wade out there so badly? You're going to call up, you know, Eggie's been playing pretty well, I think, at AAA, but there's not some option that you're keeping on the bench.
What are we talking about?
Who's going to be better than Manny Machado at this point?
Matt Purple says Manny's glove is not an asset. He's a negative defender at the moment. Is that true?
Metrically, I thought his metrics were decent. Last year, they were much better. I'm not a big believer in the eye test, but if there was an eye test, Manny is a good defender.
Do you think he's not a very good defender? That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around.
I compare him to Donovan Solano out there, and I know Manny is a much better defender than Donovan Solano is at third base.
Okay,
no offense.
He's -2 outs above average right now on June 11th. Or 12th or whatever. I mean, he's worlds better at third base than Donovan Solano, Tyler Wade, or Eggie Rosario, or anybody else you want to put out there. Worlds. He's already made some ridiculous plays this season. And obviously, when healthy,
he did make one error. I remember that.
I remember that.
Made an error.
Yep.
I think that's the only one, though. I believe in numbers. I trust numbers.
What are we talking about?
When it comes to the defensive metrics for Manny Machado, they've always seemed a little off. My eyes always tell me that Manny
is better than
the numbers seem to indicate, and I don't know what that is. Maybe someone can explain to me exactly how those numbers are calculated. I don't know how outs above average are calculated. I assume it has to do with how far you have to go to get a ball at times, and you know, how fast the runner is, whether you throw him out. And he's got a terrific arm. It's very accurate. He gets, great hands, makes really good decisions.
One error since last August,
yes.
But he hasn't gotten to a couple of balls, so that skews his metrics.
He's gotten to a lot of them, too. I mean, he makes smart plays. They threw out a runner at the plate, a week or two ago, just a really nice play on the move.
Again, if you're up there and you're hitting the ball 114 miles an hour, 106 miles an hour, and 111 miles an hour off the bat, you're not hurting this team, period. You're not, and you're going 2 for 4.
Yes, you're going to hit a lot of double plays when you hit the ball hard,
bro,
and it goes on the ground sometimes.
You're still, he hits a bleeder and gets a knock, you know. So I just
the double play he hit into would have been a double play even if Tatis was running.
100%.
He hit 106 miles an hour right at the shortstop.
Yeah,
that's the easiest double play in the world once you fielded that ball.
I mean,
had nothing to do with his legs.
The bat's finally coming around a little bit. The sliders are in the red on expected batting average, average exit velo, bat speeds catching up, hard hit percentage, all in the red, chasing a little bit too much, whiffing a little bit too much. I still think his timing is a touch off, but how nice would it be to be that good where your timing's off and you're still ripping the ball 114 miles an hour, 111 miles an hour, and 106 miles an hour? I don't look at that as a hindrance because he's not at full strength with his legs. I mean, If the designated hitter, his job is to hit, mission accomplished, right? JD Martinez. I mean, go down the list of guys that are DHs for teams. You don't, his knee's a little sore. He can only go station to station. What? Of course they're going to be in there, right? Every time. It doesn't make any sense.
Not every player. In fact, most players not going to have every five tools
correct.
All the time.
Correct.
You're hoping to have
three.
Two or three of them would be great.
Three working at one time, I think, is pretty good.
Manny doesn't have a speed tool.
Yep.
Never did. It's a little worse right now with the hip flexor strain.
He did when he was 20, 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a couple knee surgeries, a bum ankle. It doesn't make sense. Like, if he's swinging the bat like that, hitting the ball that hard, he's absolutely your best option at DH. Period. What are you talking about? You want him on the bench? $35 million a year? Doesn't make sense to me.
You want to join us, 833-288-0973. I can grab a couple of calls. I mentioned I had a couple of local notes. You probably saw the headlines yesterday. The DirecTV Holiday Bowl announced that they're going to be moving the game from Petco Park to Snapdragon Stadium beginning this December. No date or even matchup necessarily because the Pac-12 is gone. They're going to have to redo the matchups. I have no problem with it. They were very excited about moving it to Petco Park 3 years ago. They actually put a lot of time and money into rebuilding the stadium at Petco Park so it could accommodate a football field.
Yeah.
And they talked about how, everything downtown is going to be great. The parade, the hotels, they're all down there. So they're kind of going back on that when they're taking it to Snapdragon Stadium. For me personally, I think college football, bowl games, the tailgating's the fun part. And Snapdragon Stadium is better for that. People can still stay downtown.
Can I say,
just come
though,
down for the game?
Can I say that I do like bowl games in stadiums? Like in I like when they play
baseball.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The Yankee,
I think it looks
the
cool.
Pinstripe bowl.
Yeah, yeah, and I thought it looked cool at Petco.
It did. There was definitely an odd corner where it was like end zone 3 inches
wall.
It could be a problem,
which is awesome. I think in its own right, but it didn't. It didn't blow my hair back, you know?
Also this morning, Jay Billis revealed the matchups for the Players Era Festival. That's the NIL tournament that San Diego State has been invited to this fall, that each team is going to get like $1 million in NIL money, and the winner is going to get another $1 million. The matchups for the eight-team tournament are Houston versus Alabama, Rutgers versus Notre Dame, Oregon versus Creighton, and San Diego State will play Texas A&M in the first round matchup. So the first of three games that they'll play, I think it's Thanksgiving week in Las Vegas in this NIL tournament. I have no idea if Texas A&M expected to have a really good team or not a great team, but they'll take on an SEC opponent in the first round. Jay Billis had that news this morning. All right, we got some calls on the line. Maybe people want to react to Manny Machado. Sure. We can do that when we come back.
The lightning rod.
Brett Boone is going to join us at 8:35. And, I have a story I want to share that was passed along from Tier 1 Kim Higgins, my mother, yesterday. So we'll get to that next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.